the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the name of the Lord. You know the word, the meaning of firewall? I was just sitting here. I should have looked it up in Old Webster. I think it's a fire, controlled fire built to stop the raging fire coming your way. You hear that term a lot in California, where they build a firewall, they have a controlled fire to stop the rate of fire when it comes. You know, it stops it right there. I believe that's part of that meaning. But before I read these, I do want to read you out of Job. What? Job 22, to set this up, because it's the word of the Lord. Job 22, started at, say, 27. You will make your prayer to him.
Hallelujah.
He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Light will shine on your ways. And I just want to also say, and the way the United States is going right now, I thank you, Lord, that you are the leader of the church.
Amen.
There's a strong remnant within that church. Maybe the church is the remnant, I don't know, but I'm thankful that there are leaders in this country that are taking the reins and saying, inspiring others to spiritual warfare for this nation. And to go to battle. Not sitting back and lamenting the condition of the nation, the spiritual condition of the nation, political and so forth. But I'm thankful in Matthew 16:18, it mentions that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It will not prevail. I'm thankful, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful that the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. But that requires some effort for us, too. You know, it's not, just not going to happen. Because we're supposed to be his body. It's what the non-believers, we got to show them. We got to fight for them. We got to fight for this country. And I'm thankful for these decrees. And I just picture millions around this nation decreeing these truths, these things. Because it's going to raise a ruckus in the spirit world. I believe that. I mean, you don't mention the name of Jesus unless something in the atmosphere changes. Something occurs. The enemy goes scurrying. What's that saying? They attack in seven one way and scatter seven different ways.
Yeah.
Because of his name.
Hallelujah.
So, anyway, we decree a thing. In the name of Jesus, and it shall be established. Number one on the list. In Jesus' name, I declare that the USA is turning to God, embracing the truth of his word, and lawlessness respecting authority.
Amen.
Number two, in Jesus' name, I decree that the active, holy, and powerful conviction of the Holy Spirit is visiting every individual in the USA, drawing souls into true encounters with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Number three, in Jesus' name, I decree that all who serve the USA in government positions are visited by righteousness, truth, and justice of God, that they live in the fullness of Christ's wisdom in all they do. I decree that any corruption in government will be exposed and dealt with in wisdom and righteousness in order for the nation to be cleansed.
Amen.
The nation needs to be cleansed.
Amen.
We need to repent. People need to be held accountable for things. In Jesus' name, I decree that the education leaders, systems, and institutions in the USA are being filled with kingdom values, wisdom, conviction, and truth.
Amen.
Of the Lord, I may add. Number 5, in Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ in the USA is actively walking with and serving the Lord with fullness of focus, sincerity of faith, and in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
6, in Jesus' name, I decree that those who live in the USA are kept in good health and are offered excellent health services and care. I decree that all will live in the health and strength of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Number 7, in Jesus' name, I decree that the media in the United States communicates godly morals, values, and truth, and that the gospel is favored in the media. Number 8, in Jesus' name, I decree that every godly business and enterprise flourishes in the United States, and every corrupt business and enterprise is exposed and fails. I decree prosperity and fruitfulness in my nation as a result of godliness in order for every individual to have all that they need. 9. In Jesus' name, I decree that the marriages and families in the United States are blessed with love, joy, and peace, and that every home is filled with the goodness of God. And I decree that every life conceived is honored, embraced, and protected with love and respect. In Jesus' name, I decree that the body of Christ is mobilized. That's everybody that's listening, that's a believer and born again, is mobilized into the harvest field in the USA to bring forth much fruit. The harvest is there, the laborers are few, and we're commanded to go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Number 11, in Jesus' name, I decree that righteousness thrives in my nation in every realm of life, and that lawlessness and corruption will have no place. And number 12, in Jesus' name, I decree that love, that's what we have on our heart, love is the greatest aim of all Americans, and mutual love, honor, and respect are shown to all people. Jesus is the Lord over my nation. Isn't
Amen.
That powerful?
Amen.
Isn't that what a banner
awesome.
Should be?
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord over this nation, the nation, United States of America. Hallelujah. Anyways, those are the decrees for the firewall intercessors. You have a copy of it. We've been doing this. And I want to encourage everybody to start standing for this and speaking them into the atmosphere. And we will see a change. Amen.
I was thinking as that song was being played, Rainmaker, that I don't want to say ironic, but I think the Lord comes in every so often for a song or a couple of songs that affect the whole body in the United States that seem to, like she's, that lady on there, she said, sometimes we keep repeating this. And I think it's the Lord doing that. We have a song or two comes along that is right directed to Him. And it's not about encouraging our fellow brothers and sisters, although that's important. But this is right to him, and like the Waymaker, like people, church, you need a reminder who I am. You need a reminder of Almighty God that you serve here.
Amen.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in the darkness. My goodness, and how often do we do things and fail? You know, I just speak for myself. I don't, you know, you have to think about that yourself, but fail to include him in some kind of endeavor, no matter how small it is, job or something you're dreading doing or whatever, include him in that thing.
Amen.
Get him involved in every little thing in your life. Waymaker. Ooh, I need a way made for me, Lord. I've got this job. I got this. It's not that big, but I'd like to do it right the first time, Lord. Because a lot of times I'm always doing stuff twice, and I'm, whoa. But anyway, and then that other song, what's the other song I was thinking about? I can't think of it right now. But I think you played it last Sunday, Vic, at the end of service, you played it. Anyway, there are songs that come along, and I believe the Lord gives that wisdom, that to people to write these songs to remind us about who he is, what he is, and, directed right at him, for him, by him, and that's one right there. And I'm sure there's going to be more in the future from people that are just, the blessing. It has swept the world. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it swept the world.
You get on YouTube, you say, blessing Europe, Canada, China. I mean, that's godly. That is God saying, I'm here. I'm blessing you. I am your God. Sometimes we need a little shaken up. And in my opinion, this is like him saying, I'm here, people. This song is going to get in your spirit. It is going to sweep the world, The enemy has his junk to sweep the world. Well, the Lord has a blessing to sweep the world. Not
Amen.
A disease, a virus, but a blessing to sweep the world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. What an awesome God we serve. And thank you for this time today, Father God, and thank you for these decrees, these prayers that your people have come up with that we may pray together in unison and just change the course of a nation.
Amen.
That's our job. We're the body. The body does things. We do the work of the Lord, and he works through us, and we are to work, we are to pray, we are to do things, and things don't change unless we get after it. So thank you, mighty God, for people leading the way and coming up with these decrees and prayers for a nation to pray,
Hallelujah.
To decree in Jesus' name. So bless this service, I pray, Lord. I say that, but we are here to bless you, mighty God. We are here to worship you, to exalt your mighty name, to exalt your holiness. We thank you, mighty God, for Jesus, our awesome Savior. We thank you for what he did for us on the cross. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in whose holy and mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to Psalms 144. The song of the Lord who preserves and prospers his people. Blessed is the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one whom I take refuge. who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is a man that you take knowledge of him, or a son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down, you heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above and rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters.
Amen.
From the hand of the foreigners. Whose mouth speaks lying words. Whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. The one who gives salvation to the kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hands of the foreigners, whose mouths speak lying words. His right hand is the right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in a palace style, and that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, and that our sheets may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, and that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord.
Spiritual warfare, moral excellence, us striving for moral excellence. Lord placed quite a few scriptures before me, but the one that I would like us to look at is Acts 2:4. My dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, what you're going to show us today by your Spirit. Father, I ask that ears are open to hear, spiritual ears to hear, and spiritual eyes open to see what you have for them today. And in Jesus' name, I call it forth and I declare it. This is really a message about virtue. And the verse I said was Acts 2:40. See this. For the promise, I'll go up to 39. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. The next verse that I want you to look at is in 2 Peter. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter, way in the back. Starting verses 1 through 11. Now, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Two key words, glory
and virtue. Verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through even lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue knowledge. And I'm going to explain that today. Verse 6, to knowledge self-control. To self-control perseverance. To perseverance godliness. In other words, patience. Verse 7, to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. And verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I'll read 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. That's right now. So the Lord has something to teach us, I really feel, about the virtue. In Acts 2:40, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, I don't know about you, but the things that are going on out there are pretty creepy, pretty bad, very worldly things. And in this message, I want to talk about our commitment to moral excellence, the need for a church, his body, to exhibit a sense of moral excellence to this world. And it is very, very critical, the Holy Spirit says, that how you live and how you talk and how you act, the influence that you have on the world. We are living in an hour in which wickedness and lack of morality is continually increasing. Now, when we did our decrees, we claimed that things in the United States were going to change. But I don't know about you, but when I turn on TV, some of the things that are on TV just shocks me. And I'm really thankful that my kids are in their 30s. And, you know, it's not little kids running through the house. When you turn on the TV, you can just turn it on. And there's so much sexual, filthy, lustful sins of the eyes that are on TV. Just turning it on.
Yep.
And I remember, I think it was yesterday, I was watching this one movie, and it was really good. I mean, for like an hour, it was really good. And then the last maybe like 10, 15 minutes or whatever it was, out comes using the Lord's name in vain. It didn't even do any of that throughout the whole movie, and I thought, isn't that interesting, how they just kind of like snuck it in, and no one was prepared for it. But we live in a society that condones it, promotes it, talks about sexual promiscuity, talks about homosexuality. I was appalled and want that on Facebook to know that Traverse City, Michigan, the streets were painted to celebrate homosexuality. And it just made me so mad. We're not to dislike or hate the people, but that's a sin. And yet it was bragged all through our Traverse City by painting the streets and having the flags flown. Abortion, so sad. I remember teaching even about the Holocaust and watching the children and their moms, and I'm sure some dads as well, and I don't mean that in disrespect, but how many of them were burned or disrespected or like they were animals. We have abortion today where we just kill them in the womb. They don't even have a chance. And I don't know if Mary Hahn listens to this or not, but this Facebook, but I want her to know here in Benzie County, she has tried to take a stand against the abortion issue as well as the drugs that are in this area. And I condone her for that. I'm proud of her for taking that stand. But our society is plagued by murder. It's sad. I think this is a good area. I think parts of the northern region is good. And when I read some of the things about a mom or a dad that's killed their kid, I was reading something to Joe and I just was so upset. Everything that I kind of scrolled on my Facebook was showing parents who had been convicted that it hurt children or taken their lives. Dear God, what have we become as a society? That they can't even, you know, fight for their rights. And I was so, so upset that I just had to stop and I just cried and wept for the children that are so mistreated. And I think about the teenagers and how many teenage pregnancies that we have. And no one's supporting them. No one helping them. I think of gang violence. Every time I turn on TV, there's some kind of gang violence that is going on. That if we don't get appalled and upset over it and pray against it, it's going to continue. But we have the answer, which is Jesus Christ. When we took our grandchildren down to Lake Michigan, my husband found many, well, he found one in particular. I think Owen picked it up and showed it. He said, "Grandpa, look at this." And it was a needle that they had been using down there. And I just was so upset. I said, "Lord, please forgive me, because maybe I'm not interceding enough for this to stop among the kids, among things that are going on down there on the beach. We need to be upset. We need to pray. We need to be warring for souls for the kingdom of God." And I also mentioned here in my notes that, you know, like, I love music. When I get really worked up, you know, when I get in the Lord's presence, I put on music. But some of the music that's out there, the kids are so innocent, and how it is showing things that are wrong. Television, movies, books, magazines, and other media sources that I don't even have time to talk about. But we need to be worried about this. We need to be taking this before the Lord. We need to be declaring, "Not on my watch is this going to take place. Not on my watch are you going to have my kids. Not on my watch are you going to have my family. Not on my watch." You need to know who you are and get stirred up inside, because I'm telling you, this is a critical time. And the only people that should be awakening with everything that they have is the church. And it's sleeping. So why do people want to come to a church? They're not standing up. They're not fighting. They're not praying. We need to start getting stirred up and start seeking the face of the Lord for strategies and how to pray. And those things I gave to you, I don't want to see them on your counter. I want you to take them and declare them in the heavenlies that a change is going to come to the United States of America. Amen?
Amen.
In Ecclesiastes, which we hardly ever go to, 3:16 says, "Moreover, I saw under the sun, in the place of judgment, wickedness was there, and in the place of righteousness, iniquity was there. This is truly a time to be saved from the perversion that is out there, the wickedness that is out there." I really believe that God is calling every Christian to take a stand in opposition to all we see and what we hear, and for us, every one of us, even the people here, to walk in moral excellence. And what I mean by that is it takes a person of valor to stand against what is wrong. It takes a strong person, fully armored of God, to stand against things that they're seeing. And I'm telling you right now, it is sweeping the land. Unless we are committed to moral excellence, we too will be swept into wickedness. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. And when the word says that it's supposed to be this way, the word stands. It's not up and down. It lives. It's a living word. We must be people with the strength of mind and spirit that enables us to encounter the culture in which we live with firmness, with commitment to excellence. I don't care what you do. Whatever it is for the kingdom, do it the best that you can do it. If you're cleaning the bathrooms in here, do it to the best of your ability. If you're in here mopping the floor, do it to the best that you can do. Don't leave a little crumb over here because no one's going to see it, or give it a little kick like sometimes I do in the kitchen. Like, man, no one's going to see that. God sees it. He sees what we do for him. You can do things for Joe and I, and we're thankful, but I'm telling you right now, God sees everything. Everything. And I feel that we have to get back to that moral excellence, that we speak the best that we can speak love to people, that we can encourage people. And I keep on hearing over and over again that we are overcomers. In Philippians 2:15, it says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation. That we're supposed to have the light of Jesus so strong in us that that's what they see. Shine. That you shine. In Matthew 5:13 through 14, it says, "You are the salt of the earth." In other words, you're the flavor. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to throw it out and trample underfoot by men. You are to be the light of the world because Jesus is supposed to be inside of you. We're supposed to be a city on a hill. Isn't that awesome? A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. To shine. Wherever you go, you should be so full of them. Our call to moral excellence we find in Peter, in 2 Peter, where he exhorts us to add certain ingredients to our faith. Otherwise, we too will fall, and we will be swept away. In 2 Peter, and I'm going to go back because I read the whole thing. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 6 says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Virtue. So what is that? Virtue is defined as moral excellence. Isn't that amazing? That's why I did that thing up there, that PowerPoint. The dictionary defines a virtual course of thought, feeling, or action that leads to goodness, moral goodness, and any particular moral excellence to be purified. Now, the visions that I have been getting and am putting it forth for, and some other women as well, I see the bride of Christ with gold on her because she's been purified by being in the presence of the Lord. And it's so much a part of me that I want everybody in this church or who's listening to know, I don't care how busy you are, we are all busy. You have to find time to get in His presence. Ask Him to purify you. Ask Him to take different things out of you. I know everybody that's even in here has great faith. But what he's adding this to your faith. You need to have self-control. You need to have perseverance. And you need to have godliness. And perseverance is hard. And when I went to Central Michigan University, I used to walk the track field there. And sometimes I felt like I couldn't go any further. But what I found is if I just kept on going, one step, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, I ended up finishing. I ended up making it. And some of God's people are very weary. And I feel that He's saying if you will just stand, if you will just take an extra step, if you will just allow me to show you more and to be with you, in that process, in that lifelong process of going forth, He will stabilize us. And 2 Peter 1:10, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. One of the things that I have received by people that I know that are full of the Lord and from the Holy Spirit was, watch who stood behind this pulpit. And at first, when we first started the church, I understood it, but not to the extreme that I do now. What the Lord was showing me was that He placed me in this position, whether I liked it or not. And what He wants me to do is to do the best job that I can do. Whatever the Lord gives for each person to do, do it with excellence. Do it unto Him. And I know that might, maybe it sounds easy. I don't really know if I'm even coming across as the Lord would want me to do. But when you know something is wrong, you have to at least say it. And I have said that to a couple people, certain things that they were doing that I didn't agree with, and some of them that were mature in their work could handle it, and some of them really couldn't wait to get out of it. Because what is right is right. And everything that you do, you should do it unto Him. And if you make a mistake, repent and get going again. It is so important because, truthfully, we're in these human bodies. We make tons of mistakes. If a pastor stood before you and said that, you know, they had it all together, man, I'd run out of the church. I would. Because you have to constantly die of yourself. And I love the Holy Spirit. I depend on Him every day. And according to Peter, he says, by the Holy Spirit that we are called to and what we must be continually adding to our faith if we are to keep from being a stumble in the world. There are some that are still playing the world. They got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, and hey, that's not my call, you know? But I will tell you this, you're going to be in great trouble. You have to make a choice. It's no time to play games. I really believe with everything that I have that in 2 Corinthians 11:2, The Word of God says that Jesus says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." He desires you. You are important to him. And the part that I love the most is that he has betrothed you. In other words, you are his bride. And he is your husband. But you have to keep your oil lamps and your wicks trimmed and get before him to know what you're to be doing for the kingdom. I put down here that when I looked a few things up, I wondered what it means to be chastised by him. And what I found was it meant being pure from carnality, to be pure from every fault. The word virgin means to be clean, pure, and holy, as it applies to all Christians who have come personally to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wow, how powerful is that? You know, the things that we see through our eye gate can affect our life. I've counseled more people that after lots of years of marriage, and ones who I thought were Christians, were into pornography, and it almost destroyed their marriage, not realizing the falseness of that pornography and how it affected them. Your marriage bed should be pure. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How about obedience? An obedient child, in all the years I taught school, 33 years, I had a routine in my classroom, and if you did not follow it, there were consequences to it. I believe that all children want to be disciplined. And the whole problem is the parents aren't disciplined. You hear me? Parents need to know what to be a godly parent is about. I'm not saying that your child you might bring them to church, you might show them different things, and you know they think you're a true whack job because you believe a certain way that you believe, but I'm telling you right now, you'll be accountable for that. You're accountable how you raise your children. Now they can do their own thing when they're adults, but I really believe that the Word of God says that those prodigals are coming home this year.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on. And if you think it doesn't affect a Christian home, you're wrong. I don't know where all that false teaching came from, but it can happen in a Christian home as well as a home that's a worldly home. I'm serious. But you have a promise as godly parents that your children will be brought back to the kingdom. I stand on that. I mean, I'm thankful my kids serve the Lord, but I'm just trying to explain that. So what the Lord said in Colossians 3:5 to me was that evil desire, fornication, covetousness, idolatry, those things have to go. You can't have those things and have virtue. Isn't that powerful? It's right in the Word. Ephesians 5:1-5 says, excuse me, "Therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given him for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you. As is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, how about coarse jesting, which are fitting, but rather give him thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, idolater, will enter the kingdom of God if they have not repented for that sin. He's willing to take it all. I don't know about you, I've been repenting every second. These are all things in which Christ wants all of us to add to our faith. Moral excellence, to have virtue. The one example that I get, if I can talk about this, excuse me, was Joseph in the Bible. When I think of the various Bible characters, as I was going through it, characters that were not even committed to moral excellence, but they tried to exhibit it, Joseph immediately came to mind. Joseph was a good person. He was impeccable. He had character. He had moral excellence. And even in the time of adverse circumstances, he still was impeccable. Joseph was sold by his brothers, as most of you know this story, to the Midianites, who were traitors, who took him to Egypt and sold him as a slave on the slave market. In Genesis 39:1, it says, now Joseph had been taken to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And you know what? He could have been bitter. I'm wondering if I would have been bitter. He could have been bitter towards God, and he could have allowed his morality to become polluted. But instead, he grew in godliness while preserving in the midst of unjust treatment. I don't know about you, I've had unjust treatment. And like I said, when Vicki told me one time, let's just take it to the cross and leave there, I will never forget that. Maybe you've been unjustly treated. Maybe you've even made smart comments about other people. The Lord is saying he wants you to question that. He wants you to give that to him, because that is not godly behavior. There is a tendency within all of us to compromise, to fall back in moral conduct because of the trials of life. Isn't that good? But remember this from the Holy Spirit this morning. It's during this perseverance that we add godliness to our faith. The blessing of God was upon Joseph's life, just like everybody here, or maybe who's listening. And his master's house, because of his commitment to moral excellence. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. Did you hear that? Everything he touched, he prospered. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight, and he served him. Then he made him an overseer of his house, and all that he had, he gave him authority. That's powerful. Some of us not like it. But I remember the pastor that we were under for 30 years or whatever. She said something. She said, you can't clean a toilet. can't clean God's house, if you can't become a servant to other people, then you're not a child of God. You have to be willing to have the right attitude and do what you're supposed to do for the Lord. I thought that was so powerful. And it also says in the Word of God that God talked to Joseph day by day, that he did not, like this Potiphar's wife was trying to accuse Joseph of making sexual advances at her, which was a lot. And he stayed. He didn't get bitter. His standard, this is powerful, please hear this. His standard of righteousness he had set for himself protected him from compromising. When life trials get so bad, do we compromise or do we stand on the Word of God, what is right? He was put in prison for not giving in to his master's wife's desires. But he never became bitter. Joseph is the type of the person God is looking for in these last days. Are you hearing me this morning? There's so much darkness, and there's so much sorrow that's even going to still keep on coming to earth. Troubled times that we might even question ourselves, you know, it'd be easier to go the other way. But one of the things that the Lord kept on saying to me is, have virtue. Have moral excellence. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And allow the glory of the Lord to rise upon you, for behold, the darkness will cover this earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Is that not something to hold on to? That's my prayer from the Holy Spirit to you, is that you will have moral excellence and do what is right, even when it's easier to go the other way. So he wants you to add that to your faith today. Amen? So dear Heavenly Father, I know it's warm. And Father, I just ask for this to be embedded in their heart. And Father, I ask right now that you touch each one of us and everybody that is listening today. Help us, Father, do what is right when we know that. Let us not compromise, Lord. Help us to go forth the right way. Give us the faith to do that. Have the Holy Spirit come alongside of us. In Jesus' name I pray this. I give it out into the atmosphere that we are going to move forth in excellence starting today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah!